Study Article 37. This article will be studied during the week of November 17th through 23rd. The best way to respond to injustice. Theme text: He kept hoping for justice, but look, there was injustice. Isaiah 5:7. Song 114. Exercise patience. Focus: How Jesus' example helps us respond to injustice in a way that pleases Jehovah.
Paragraphs 1 and 2. Question: How do many people react to injustice? And what might we wonder about?
We live in an unjust world. People are treated unfairly for many reasons, such as their economic status, gender, ethnicity, or race. They suffer the effects of environmental problems caused or worsened by greedy executives and corrupt officials. These and other injustices affect us all, either directly or indirectly. It is not surprising that many are angry about the injustice they see in the world today. We all want to live in a world where we feel safe and are treated fairly. Some get involved in social reform efforts. They sign petitions, join protests, and support political leaders who promise to fight injustice. However, as Christians, we are taught to be no part of the world and to wait on God's kingdom to eliminate all injustice. John 17:16. Still, we cannot help but be dismayed, even angry, when we see someone being treated unfairly. We may wonder, how should I respond? Is there anything I can do about injustice right now? To answer these questions, let us begin by considering how Jehovah and Jesus feel about injustice. Jehovah and Jesus hate injustice.
Paragraph 3. Question: Why is it understandable for us to feel angry about injustice?
The Bible gives us the reason why it is understandable for us to be disturbed by injustice. It explains that Jehovah created us in His image, and that He loves righteousness and justice. Psalm 33:5. He never acts unjustly, and He does not want anyone else to act that way. For example, during the time of the prophet Isaiah, Jehovah heard a cry of distress from many Israelites who were being mistreated by their countrymen.
Isaiah 5:7 reads,
"For the vineyard of Jehovah of armies is the house of Israel. The men of Judah are the plantation he was fond of. He kept hoping for justice, but look, there was injustice. For righteousness, but look, a cry of distress."
Jehovah took action by punishing those who repeatedly ignored his law and treated others unfairly.
Paragraph 4. Question: What does an event found in the Gospels reveal about how Jesus views injustice?
Like Jehovah, Jesus loves justice and hates injustice. On one occasion during his earthly ministry, he saw a man with a disability, a withered hand. Jesus was moved to help him, but the cold-hearted religious leaders felt very differently. They were more concerned with enforcing their rigid interpretation of the Sabbath law than with helping the disadvantaged man. How did Jesus feel about their reaction? He was thoroughly grieved at the insensibility of their hearts. Mark 3:1-6.
The picture for paragraph 4 shows Jesus in a synagogue, speaking to Jewish religious leaders about the man with a withered hand whom he is about to heal. The religious leaders look at Jesus with contempt. The picture caption reads, "Jewish religious leaders did not have empathy for those in need, but Jesus did." Paragraph 5. Question: What must we remember about the anger we may feel regarding an injustice?
Given that both Jehovah and Jesus are angered by injustice, it is not wrong for us to feel that way too. Yet we must remember that any anger we feel, even if it is justified, will not fix injustice. In fact, prolonged or uncontrolled anger may harm us emotionally and physically. So, how should we deal with injustice? We can learn from Jesus' example. How Jesus dealt with injustice.
Paragraph 6. Question. What injustices were common when Jesus was on earth?
Jesus saw great injustice when he was on earth. He witnessed how the common people were oppressed by the religious leaders. He was aware of how harshly the Roman authorities treated the people. Many Jews longed for independence from Rome. Some, such as the Zealots, were willing to fight for it. Yet Jesus did not initiate or support movements for social change. When he learned that people were planning to make him king, Jesus separated himself from them.
The picture for paragraph 6 shows Jesus walking alone up a mountain path. A large group of people are gathered at the base of the mountain. The picture caption reads, "Jesus separated himself from the people when they wanted to involve him in political issues of the time." Paragraphs 7 and 8. Question. Why did Jesus not try to eliminate injustice when he was on earth?
When he was on earth, Jesus did not try to work with the political systems of the day in order to eliminate injustice. Why not? He knew that humans have neither the right nor the ability to govern themselves. They are also incapable of addressing the root causes of injustice. The world is ruled by Satan the devil, a murderous spirit creature who uses his authority to incite injustice, and imperfection makes it impossible for even the most well-meaning humans to act fairly at all times. Jesus knew that only God's kingdom will fully address the root causes of injustice. For that reason, he spent his time and energy on preaching and declaring the good news of the kingdom of God, Luke 8:1. He assured those hungering and thirsting for righteousness that the end of corruption and injustice would come, Matthew 5:6 and study note. However, this will be achieved not through social reform, but through the rulership of God's heavenly government, which is no part of this world.
John 18:36 reads,
"Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is no part of this world. If my kingdom were part of this world, my attendants would have fought that I should not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from this source.'"
Imitate Jesus when dealing with injustice.
Paragraph 9. Question. What convinces you that only God's kingdom will eliminate all injustice?
Today, we see even more injustice than Jesus saw when he was on earth. But the source of injustice in these last days continues to be Satan and the imperfect people under his influence. Like Jesus, we know that only God's kingdom will eliminate the root causes of injustice. Because we fully support that kingdom, we refuse to get involved with this world's marches, protests, and other efforts to curb injustice. Consider the experience of a sister named Stacy. Before she learned the truth, Stacy regularly joined in efforts to promote social reform. But she began to have doubts about what she was doing. She says, "When I was at protests, I would question whether I was on the correct side. Now that I support God's kingdom, I know that I'm on the right side. I know that Jehovah will fight for every victim of oppression better than I ever could."
Paragraph 10. Question. In what way are social reform movements out of harmony with Jesus' counsel found at Matthew 5:43 through 48?
The social reform movements of this world are often marked by an independent and bitter spirit that is at odds with Jesus' example and teachings. A brother named Jeffrey observes, "I know that seemingly peaceful protests can, in a matter of seconds, turn into violence and looting. However, Jesus teaches us to treat all people with love, even those who disagree with us or persecute us."
Matthew 5:43-48 reads,
"You heard that it was said, 'You must love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'
However, I say to you, continue to love your enemies and to pray for those who persecute you, so that you may prove yourselves sons of your Father who is in the heavens, since he makes his sun rise on both the wicked and the good, and makes it rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those loving you, what reward do you have? Are not also the tax collectors doing the same thing? And if you greet your brothers only, what extraordinary thing are you doing? Are not also the people of the nations doing the same thing? You must accordingly be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
As Christians, we do our best to avoid anything that is out of harmony with the pattern that Jesus set for us.
The picture for paragraph 10 shows a sister calmly looking ahead as she walks past a group of protesters on a busy city street. The picture caption reads, "It takes determination to remain neutral with regard to the political and social issues of our time." Paragraph 11, question. What can test our determination not to support social reform movements?
Although we know that God's kingdom will permanently solve injustice, we could find it hard to imitate Jesus when we are treated unfairly. Consider what happened to Janiah, who experienced discrimination. She admits, "I was furious. I also felt hurt and wanted the injustice to be avenged. Then I thought about supporting a movement protesting racism and discrimination. I felt that doing so was a safe way to express my anger." In time, however, Janiah realized that she needed to make changes. "I was allowing others to sway my thinking," she says, "to influence me to place my trust in man instead of in Jehovah. I decided to cut off all association with the movement." We must be careful not to allow any righteous anger we feel to cause us to compromise our neutral stand regarding this world's political and social issues.
Paragraph 12, question. Why is it wise to be selective regarding the information we take in?
What can help us to control our feelings of anger over an injustice? Many have found it helpful to be selective in what they read, listen to, and watch. Some forms of social media are full of posts that sensationalize injustices and that promote social reform movements. Often, news agencies report information in a biased way. Even if we hear a report about a valid injustice, will dwelling on it really help us? If we spend a lot of time consuming such information, we may become needlessly frustrated or discouraged. Even worse, we could lose sight of the ultimate solution to all injustice, God's kingdom.
Paragraph 13, question. How can a good routine of Bible reading help us to maintain the right attitude about injustice?
A good routine of Bible reading and meditation can help us to deal with injustice. A sister named Aliyah was deeply disturbed by the way people in her community were being mistreated. It seemed that those responsible for the mistreatment were not being held accountable. She says, "I had to sit down and ask myself, do I actually believe that Jehovah will fix these problems?" It was during that time that I read Job 34:22-29. Those verses reminded me that no one can hide from Jehovah. Only he has a perfect sense of justice, and only he will fully correct matters. Still, as we wait for God's kingdom to bring true justice, we need to deal with injustice now. How? What we can do about injustice now.
Paragraph 14, question. What can we do to avoid contributing to this world's injustices?
We may not be able to control the unjust actions of others, but we can control our own actions. As previously discussed, we imitate Jesus by showing love. Such love can move us to treat others, even perpetrators of injustice, with respect. Jehovah is pleased when we treat everyone kindly and fairly.
Colossians 3:10 and 11 reads,
"And clothe yourselves with the new personality, which through accurate knowledge is being made new according to the image of the one who created it, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, foreigner, Scythian, slave, or freeman, but Christ is all things and in all.
Paragraph 15. Question. What effect does our sharing Bible truth have on present injustice?
The most important way we can respond to injustice is by sharing Bible truths with others. Why do we say that? Because the knowledge of Jehovah can transform a person who was formerly aggressive and violent into a kind, peace-loving individual. Isaiah 11, 6, 7, and 9. Before learning the truth, a man named Jamal joined a rebel group to fight a political regime that he felt was oppressive. He says, "You can't change people by force. I was not changed by force, but I was changed by Bible truth that I was learning." What Jamal learned motivated him to stop fighting. The more people there are who are transformed by Bible truth, the fewer people there will be who add to present injustice.
Paragraph 16. Question. Why are you motivated to share the kingdom hope?
Like Jesus, we are eager to tell people that God's kingdom offers the only permanent solution to injustice. That hope can encourage those who have been mistreated. Stacy, quoted earlier, explains, "Learning the truth has helped me to cope with the injustices that I have seen and experienced. Jehovah uses the Bible's message to provide comfort." To share the Bible's comforting message about the solution to injustice, you need to be well prepared. The more convinced you become of the truthfulness of the scriptural thoughts considered in this article, the better equipped you will be to discuss this topic with tact if it comes up at school or at work.
Paragraph 17. Question. How does Jehovah help us to cope with present injustice?
We know that we will face injustice as long as Satan remains the ruler of this world. But we are neither helpless nor hopeless as we await his being cast out. John 12:31. Through the scriptures, Jehovah reveals not only why there is so much injustice, but also how he feels about the distress that it causes us. By means of his Son, Jehovah teaches us how we should respond to present injustice and how his kingdom will soon eliminate injustice once and for all. May we continue to preach the good news of that kingdom with zeal, eagerly looking forward to the time when the earth will be filled with justice and righteousness. Isaiah 9:7. How would you answer? Why does injustice disturb us so much? Why do we not support human efforts to fight injustice? What can we do when dealing with injustice? Song 158. It Will Not Be Late. End of article.